Dear wrestling community, welcome to Everything Pro Wrestling. Everything Pro Wrestling is a show by the fans, for the fans. I am your host, Conrad Cushman, a wrestling fan for over 30 years and a regular guy. On Saturday, May 25th, I celebrate my first wedding anniversary with my beautiful wife. Also on May 25th, we will witness the birth of AEW, a promotion started by Tony Khan and members of the Elite. All my life, I've been known as a WWE guy. Growing up in the Northeast, everybody was a fan of the WWF. That's how old I am. It used to be the WWF, and I supported them like no other. I bought the shirts, the action figures, the video games, whatever had WWF on it, I was in. Even during the Monday Night Wars, when they were losing to WCW, I always stuck behind the WWF. But in today's current state with the WWE, the name has changed. We get it. But what has happened to the company? They seem to have lost their way. A company that once listened to the fans no longer listens to the fans. A company that once always had a creative direction now lacks a creative direction. A company that I felt wrote for the fans now writes for one man's vision. And that's all on Vince McMahon. I feel like he has chased me away as a loyal WWE fan. And I get it. So with that being said, I hope that this marks a change in mainstream pro wrestling. Wrestling fans in 2019, we have more access to pro wrestling than ever. We can watch WWE on demand on a network. Impact Wrestling has their own network. Ring of Honor has their own network. New Japan Pro Wrestling has their own network. You can live stream them from anywhere, anytime. It's pretty cool to live in 2019 as a wrestling fan. We have other promotions out there like MLW, your local indies, and everything else, guys. There is more wrestling than we know what to do with. So why support one company and just be brand loyal to one company? There are options out there for you, no matter what you like in pro wrestling. It's also important to support podcasts like Everything Pro Wrestling, Brainbuster Radio, and I appreciate each and every one of you who listen every single week, who turn up every single week and listen to me talk about pro wrestling. It means more to me than you'll ever know. I bust my ass for you each and every week. So let's take back our pro wrestling and let's change the world. And let's do this by flipping the switch.
Welcome to Everything Pro Wrestling. Everything Pro Wrestling is a show by the fans, for the fans. And here's your host, Conrad Cushman.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my AEW Double or Nothing preview. Since this company has been announced in Jacksonville, Florida, I have been excited to see what they are going to bring to the table for professional wrestling. And on Saturday, May 25th, we find out. This event will be their mission statement to what they are going to bring to the wrestling world and why we should watch on TNT this fall. AEW's had a lot of exciting news going on, but now it's time to deliver. Some wrestling fans have called them a t-shirt company. Other fans have overhyped AEW. I say that to say this. All Elite Wrestling is the first time in over 18 years that we've had competition in the wrestling world. WCW went away in 2001, and wrestling hasn't really been the same since then. I'm excited to see what happens. As I said in my open letter to the wrestling community, there are options out there for you. And I think all wrestling fans should exercise that and take advantage of what they like in pro wrestling and enjoy it. Before we get started with this Double or Nothing preview, I wanted to take the time out to remind everyone who hasn't already done so to click subscribe. If you guys click subscribe right now, you'll be the first notified when a new podcast episode goes up. With that being said, I also want you guys to check the description box. I have two link trees in there. One is for Everything Pro Wrestling. It'll say EPW Show at the end. You guys can go on there and find all my social medias, my Facebook, my Twitter, Instagram, and interact with Everything Pro Wrestling. Also, we have all of the available ways to listen to the podcast. There are several different platforms you can use, and I want you guys to be the most comfortable when you're listening to Everything Pro Wrestling. And underneath that, we have a link tree for Brain Buster Radio. Brain Buster Radio is a group of elite podcasters bringing you podcasts 7 days a week on pro wrestling. Absolutely love the group. And you guys can check out my show every Saturday. This week, I will be having a roundtable discussion with some of the smartest minds in pro wrestling discussing AEW and Double or Nothing. Why? Because it's all elite Brain Buster Radio week on Brain Buster Radio.
This is MLW referee Doug Markham, and you're listening to Everything Pro Wrestling with Conrad Cushman.
Double or Nothing's pre-show is called The Buy-In, and those involved with AEW have done a tremendous job in building up the pre-show. I feel like it's very important for those who are watching this event that you have to watch the pre-show. With some of these other companies lately, the pre-show matches have felt kind of, it doesn't matter if I miss it. With AEW, I feel like you cannot miss the action that's going to be happening on the buy-in. So with the buy-in, I predict we're going to start off with the 21-man Casino Battle Royal. Now, what is this all about, you're probably wondering. Well, originally, AEW was going to reuse the concept of the over-the-budget Battle Royal that took place at All In last September. But they've made tweaks to the matches. They're in Las Vegas. You have to make this work. They're in the MGM Grand. You got to play up all of this casino talk with everything that you guys use with it. And I think this is a smart marketing move. So what is the Casino Battle Royal? You're going to start off with five competitors in the match. And every 3 minutes, five more will be added in based on the card suit that they got from the deck of cards that they've picked. And the person who gets the Joker will be lucky entrant number 21. And it's been announced that the winner of this match will earn a future title shot at the AEW World Champion, whomever that may be. Who's all in this match? Right now we have the Young Bucks friend, Brandon Cutler, Glacier from WCW, Lucha Underground's Sunny Kiss, Ace Romero, Sunny Days, Brian Pillman Jr., MJF, Joey Janela, Dustin Thomas, Billy Gunn, Jimmy Havoc, Michael Nakazawa, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, Isaiah Cassidy, and Mark Keane. So those are the people who are announced for the event. I wouldn't be surprised if we got some surprises thrown in there. I said surprise twice there. But I'm very interested in this. So picking a winner for this type of match is so difficult because you don't know who's going to be in this. You don't know who could show up and that'll change your mind. Like if I knew that, for example, an ex wrestler is going to show up, I would pick that person to win, but I don't know. So looking at the names that I have in front of me, it comes down to a couple people. I would like to see MJF, Joey Janela, Jungle Boy, or Luchasaurus win this. Don't ask me why. Just a fan of those guys. And Luchasaurus is also from Lucha Underground, by the way. But my prediction is going to be for Jungle Boy to win this. It's between him and MJF for the toss-up, but I'm going to go with Jungle Boy. He has a lot of upside to him, and I've never seen this guy wrestle before. So I'm very interested to see Luke Perry's son wrestle. I think he's going to do a tremendous job. I've seen him in one skit right now on Being the Elite. And I thought he did a good job with it. So we're going to go with Jungle Boy for the victory just because. Now let's look at the other match that's going to be on the buy-in. We are going to have Kip Sabian versus Sammy Guevara. Now, Sammy Guevara, I've seen some of his work in Lucha Underground, and I've seen some of Kip Sabian stuff on YouTube and etc. These guys are going to bring a high-paced, high-moving, great action. Exactly the kind of pace that you would expect if you've seen their work previously. Now, when I see this, who am I going to pick to win? I'm going to go with Sammy Guevara. I think he's been playing an excellent kind of, dare I say, douche kind of character. He's just someone who you kind of just want to slam to the ground and drop an elbow on. But I think both of these guys are going to deliver and show you what their action is going to be like when you watch them wrestle. Sammy Guevara for the win for me. Before we get into the main card, I do want to give a quick shout out to my friends at Everything College Basketball. Everything College Basketball is the sister podcast to Everything Pro Wrestling. It is hosted by Josh, Peyton, and Tyler. They do a tremendous job getting you updated with all of the recruits, and you guys can check out their sweet series that they've been doing. They've been picking up some of the old games and reviewing them and talking about them on their podcast. So make sure you guys give a look to Everything College Basketball. Let's talk Double or Nothing's main card. When we look at the main card, it's tough to pick which match could open up the show because I see several matches that have that ability. But one that I could see is a six-woman tag match with Aja Kong, Sakazaki, Sakura, versus Shida, Ryu, and Mizunami. This match will be hard-hitting. Now, I don't know much about these ladies. Shout out to JPQ and Wilfred for updating me on who some of these women are. I've seen some clips of them on YouTube, but I have not seen full matches yet, so I look forward to this. The one lady who I do know, and she will be on the winning team, I believe, is Aja Kong. I have seen Aja Kong going back to 1995. She is a legend in pro wrestling. Aja Kong has been in the game for quite some time, and I look forward to seeing her in this match, and I believe she's going to pick up the win here. So give me Kong, Sakazaki, and Sakura for the win. Next, we have Dr. Britt Baker, one of AEW's first signings, versus Kylie Rae versus Nyla Rose in a triple threat match. I don't know too much about Kylie Rae, and Nyla Rose, I didn't know anything about until she was announced, and I happened to be on YouTube, and I caught a couple of her matches. This match is going to be really tough. You've got the Dennis Britt Baker, who has a phenomenal super kick in this. We've got Kylie Rae. She seems like everybody's on board with her who have seen her work. People just love Kylie Rae. And Nyla Rose. She's a beast, and you don't know what you're going to get in this match. I think these three are going to work very well together. For this victory, though, I am going to say that we will see Kylie Rae pick up the victory in this triple threat match for the shocking win. Next, we have a tag match. Some would call it tag team action. We are going to have the best friends. That's Trent Beretta and Chucky T versus Angelico and Jack Evans. Whoa. Bro, I don't know if you guys know about these teams. I remember seeing Trent Beretta in WWE, and I thought this guy had a lot of talent. You put him with Chucky T, who is tremendous as well, and you have a great tag team. On the other side, if you have never watched Lucha Underground, hell, if you've never even heard of independent wrestling, you would know who Jack Evans is. Jack Evans has been around quite some time, and it's good to see him get a big break like this right now. I was happy to see him in Lucha Underground. I'm even happier to see him in a tag team in AEW. And Angelico, if you guys ever saw the clip in Lucha Underground of someone jumping off of the building inside the temple, that's Angelico. And this dude is amazing. Amazing. This match should be really tremendous. The best friends are in here. They did not want to be in the pre-show. They had funny skits on being the elite. I'm going with the best friends to pick up the victory here. I think they're going to do some dastardly kind of heel maneuver to pick up the win. It should be a really fun match, though, if you guys like high-paced, high-flying action. Next, we have SCU SoCal Uncensored versus SEMA, T-Hawk, and El Lindemann. This will be very interesting because it's AEW versus the people participating in OWE. I've seen a little bit of what OWE is all about. It looks like a lot of flipping, very, how do I want to say this? It fits today's climate of pro wrestling. It looks like a lot of gymnastics, but these guys are athletic, hard-hitting, and they do a lot of good stuff. So I'm interested to see what they bring. Now, I'm familiar with SEMA. The other two gentlemen, I don't know too much about, but it's exciting because I could end up having people that I like. This is how I discovered Bandido last year, was watching All In. I didn't know anything about him. He ended up becoming one of my favorites. So I'm going in with the same expectations for these guys. This match, I could see SoCal Uncensored finding a way to pick up the victory in this one. I would like to see SoCal Uncensored pick up a strong victory. Daniels, Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky, I mean, these guys deserve it. They've been busting their ass for years. They did a great job getting this gimmick over. I love them working out to Hearts on Fire on BTE. It just reminds me of the Brock Lesnar Hearts on Fire video when he was training for UFC. I laugh every single time I see that. I actually ended up going to the gym later on that day after, and I put that song on. It's a good motivator. So give me SCU for the win on this one. We have to talk about this next match that has been canceled. Shout out to my friends, Wrestle Thoughts. They were over there, and they were at a WrestleGate Pro show, and they got to see this match, Hangman Page versus Pac. AEW actually retweeted them, so make sure you guys check out Wrestle Thoughts podcast on Brainbuster Radio on Sundays. They were over there, and all I saw was, holy bleep, these guys were excited to see this match. Like, we saw it, like, we found out while it was happening live. They wound up on BTE, just good stuff. Rumors are circulating all over the web about this match. Is it Pac's got visa problems? Is it because he didn't want to drop the belt? Is it because Dragon Gate didn't want him to look weak? I don't know what's going on. I feel like Hangman Page still deserves his moment despite them doing the angle where he gets Pillmanized across the pond. I still think Hangman Page is going to have a match of some sort. The question is who? AEW has people on the back burner that they're trying to save. And I feel like now it's double or nothing, right? They're going to have to play a card that they may have been wanting to hold back. Who shows up here to face Hangman Page? I rub my beard and I think, I don't know if they have a Dean Ambrose or John Moxley. Maybe you have him come out. Maybe you have an independent talent that we don't know about that has signed with AEW come out. It could be. Maybe you have someone who is out of their Lucha Underground contract come out. Lots of options here. It'll be interesting to see how they play it out. I really hope that AEW and Pac can come to some sort of agreement because this is not a good footing to start off with. AEW's first match took place because of all of this drama, and I really hope that they find a way to get a better working relationship with each other, and hopefully all sides can be happy with this. Next match. Cody versus Dustin Rhodes. I have waited for this match for so long. And Cody Rhodes, if you ever happen to listen to this podcast, I just want to tell you and Dustin, my favorite match of all time that I saw live was at Battleground. It was the Rhodes Dynasty versus the Shield. And I will never forget that tag title match. Freaking tremendous. Your jobs were on the line. It told a great story. I love Dusty's interaction with Dean Ambrose on the floor when Dusty took his belt off. And I will never forget when you crossroads Seth Rollins. Me and all my friends still talk about that to this day. When Cody got that crossroads on Seth Rollins, it was a thing of beauty. Seth sold it like he got hit with a cannon. Excellent match. After that fallout, though, I always wanted to see Cody versus Dustin Rhodes. Not Stardust, not any of the parody stuff. I wanted to see a good match between you two, and I think this is going to be the one that proves it. And Dustin Rhodes, a lot of people think this is his retirement match and all that. I think this guy can still go for a little bit. Dustin Rhodes has been one of the best performers since 92 in my mind. I've always enjoyed him, even when he was the Natural in WCW. Really tremendous stuff by him. Cody has done good stuff promoting this. I love the new face paint for Dustin Rhodes. I love the fact that Cody talked about a pissant bodybuilder and ending the Attitude Era. It's been good build and got people talking. In this match, though, I am going with the prediction that Cody Rhodes picks up the win over his older brother here and shows why he is going to be the man of the future. So Cody Rhodes for the win. Next up, for the AAA World Tag Team titles, we are going to have the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson versus the Lucha Brothers, Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix. Man, this is going to be a great tag match. I feel like the Young Bucks have been rested up. They're going to be able to do what they do best in that ring. The Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros have been on fire. The Lucha Bros have had great tag matches with LAX. I saw them at my local indies. They had a great tag match there. The Lucha Bros are on fire, and everybody wants them right now. And AEW's got them. Goodness gracious. In this match, I do see the Lucha Brothers picking up the win over the Young Bucks here. I think that the AAA World Tag Team Championship have to come home, and the Lucha Bros are going to be the favorite in Mexico. I don't see the Young Bucks keeping them and holding on to them for a little bit longer. So I'm going to go with the Lucha Bros pick up the win, regain the AAA Tag Team belts, and they take them back home to Mexico where they can perform with them. And in the match that I think is going to be moved to the main event, even though I can see a flip-flop with the Young Bucks and Lucha Brothers, it is going to be the rematch, Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho. Now, I know we got this match in New Japan, but I really feel like this one's going to be different. New Japan had that street fight feel to it, and I think Jericho's still going to do some of that stuff in this. But I feel like Jericho has been learning a new moveset. He's been training in MMA, and I don't know if that's what he usually does. But I feel like Chris Jericho is out to prove something right now. Chris Jericho is looked at as the man right now in AEW. And he's been talking all this mess about what he's got. But Jericho was one of the big names that defected over from the WWE. And I shouldn't even say defected because his contract wasn't there. Jericho made a move for himself. And no one was really... I won't even say no one was expecting it. People expected it, but when Jericho actually showed up, it's like, whoa, this is serious. You knew that this was real. And Jericho versus Kenny Omega is real. It's happening. I feel like Kenny Omega could be someone who you build the company around. He's been tremendous in New Japan. I loved all of his work over there. But I think the win in this one's got to go to Chris Jericho. I think Jericho's going to find a way to win this match, and Chris Jericho is going to be on top of AEW, and we're going to just see him talking his usual mess, and Jericho's going to show you why he signed a 3-year deal and is making more money than he's ever made in pro wrestling. So those are my preview and predictions for All Elite Wrestling's Double or Nothing. If you guys stick around, you guys will be able to hear me answer some questions from people on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll be right back.
This is Brian Mazik, the hardest working man in sports and gaming, and you are listening to my man Conrad Cushman and Everything Pro Wrestling.
All right, folks, hopefully you stuck around. We are going to start by answering the Facebook questions first, and then I'll go over to Twitter. So let's start with my man, Connor McCabe. He has a couple questions in here. First, he asks, will AEW Double or Nothing success decide how WWE writes their storylines? There's no simple yes or no to that. I don't think at first it's going to decide that, but I think eventually, as soon as things start to heat up between both companies, they may need to. They may need to figure out how to step it up. I think it's just going to write itself. No pun intended. Jesus De Leon, he wants to know, rumors are saying that AEW will go TV-14. What's your thought on that? I think it's good if you want to be an alternative to the WWE, which produces a PG-style show for kids and family. AEW needs to be a show for the male audience and female audience where they can go to get serious storylines and see stuff that's more adult-oriented. And it'll also help you with content for storylines that people can get more invested in. Eric from Buffalo, New York writes, in your opinion, what time slot will AEW get in October on TNT? Who should be the inaugural AEW champion and why? Ooh, two for you stuck in there, Eric. Well, Eric, thank you for your question. What time slot will AEW get? I'm going to go with they will debut October 1st, 2019, and they're going to be on from 8 till 10. I could be wrong on that, but I think that would be the best time slot for them on a Tuesday. Next, who should be the inaugural AEW World Champion and why? That's a good question. My prediction is going to be you are going to have to either go with – see, at first I thought it would be like Hangman Page, but I think you're going to build Hangman Page up. I think the first champion should be Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho did a lot for that company. And I feel Chris Jericho has always lost in big matches, and he has never been selfish and put himself over. This is the one time where I think the guys need to say, you know what? You don't have to be selfish. We're saying it. You're going over. You're the one we want to have win. Don't change the plans. Let Jericho be the guy. Jesus De Leon writes in again. He says, what match are you looking forward to at Double or Nothing, and which matches are you expecting to deliver? Let me pull this card back up here again. So first question was, what match am I looking forward to? I am most looking forward to now the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers and Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho. I would probably go Omega Jericho 1 right now and then the Bucks Lucha Brothers 2. Let's see here. And what am I expecting to deliver? I think that the matches that need to deliver are the Best Friends versus Angelico and Jack Evans. I think you need SoCal Uncensored and the OWE match to deliver because you have to show why you started that relationship. My number one would have been Hangman Page versus Pac, but I think whoever debuts is going to have an impactful debut. And I think all of these matches are important. This entire card needs to be important because this show cannot be good, as JR said. It has to be great so that people are talking about AEW. Because they're going up against Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA. And the Milwaukee Bucks and Toronto Raptors, I know that ratings are down because LeBron's not in it, but I don't care. Like, they have to have a great show so people are talking about this instead of the NBA playoffs. You want your name to be buzzing. You want to be the number one social media trend. You want people buying your gear, selling stuff out. So AEW needs to deliver on this entire card is probably the best answer. All right, and Jesus asks, Jesus, you snuck in a bunch of questions in here. All right, so we're going to go down the line for these because he's got a couple. He says, what is your thoughts on AEW going to the UK for a pay-per-view, like they said on BTE? I'm all for it. The UK deserves a pay-per-view. Their crowd is tremendous, and their wrestling fans have just as much passion as we do. Which wrestler that contract ends this year or next year from any company would you like to see hop on and sign with AEW? I have two names that I want to see. Well, I shouldn't say two names. I have two acts, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, sign on. Tag team, The Revival, female competitor, Sasha Banks. Those are my top two right now that I'd like to see sign with AEW. Give me some pros and cons for AEW. As a company, they are young. They are trying to develop fresh talent. Pros for AEW. They may have some of the newest faces in wrestling. They are given a primetime slot on TNT. They have everything behind them right now and a bunch of potential. Cons. Fans' expectations are different today. There are going to be a group of fans who crap on everything you do. How will AEW react? What's going to happen with situations like with Pac? How is it going to be handled by the Khan family, Cody, the Bucks, all the executive vice presidents within the company? Who deals with that, and what happens when you come into situations like that? So we're going to have to see how they handle adversity. And I think another thing, are all the technicalities going to be right? The lights, the music, is everything going to be working right for AEW Double or Nothing? So there's a lot of potential with this. So those are the pros and cons that I see. I'm sure if I sat down and had more time, I could figure out a bunch more for you. We are getting some, Jesus, I saw what you wrote on Facebook. That was very mean of you to tag people and, write that in there, but you got a lot of hearts and, laughter. So let's see here. Eric comes back. Eric from Buffalo again. He says, ideas for tag and women belt designs. My favorite women's championship is probably the one that was used from 2000-2001 time period, the one that Sable had. I thought that was a really nice looking belt that they had for a little bit there. And for tag belts, I've always been a fan of the WCW tag team titles. Even when they rebranded them and brought them back out with the new design, I like those, and I love the classic WWF tag titles. Can't go wrong with either of those. Let's see here. He says, oh, and who would be a great addition from places like ROH, NWA, or New Japan if made an easy, or excuse me, if made an offer? You brought a name up that I was thinking of. Will Ospreay is someone who I could see. He asked about Chase Owens. I like Chase Owens and Jay White and them. In the Bullet Club right now. Jay Lethal, you wrote down. I'm looking at all the names you wrote down here. I think Jay Lethal's a perfect fit for ROH right now. Women, I brought up, I think they should bring in Tennille Dashwood, a.k.a. Emma. I think that you could bring in a few other women that will really help out and make this worthwhile. I would like to see them probably pick off people like Sasha Banks and a few others. I think that there's a lot of potential with unhappy talent. James Farley, Raw and SmackDown desperately need GMs who aren't named Vince, Stephanie, Triple H, or Shane. Who would you pick and why? I think that you could go in a good direction with someone like William Regal. I prefer him in NXT, though. The low dosages of William Regal works better, in my opinion. I think Regal has done a tremendous job down there. And for the other brand, as far as going to a GM, I liked Paige as a GM, so I would put her back in the position as well. I thought Paige didn't really get long enough of a run, and I thought that was best for her. I'm not feeling her in this manager role for the Kabuki Warriors. So, excuse me, got to get a drink from the Red Cup of Doom. All right. James asks another question. Also, the third hour of Raw will be grittier and have a different feel. What else in that third hour would you recommend to keep viewers? I would say engaging storytelling and good matches. You have to build up this show. Sometimes they start really hot right out the gate. I still feel like WWE is playing with that third hour formula and they don't know what they want to do yet. So I would say creative storytelling. Look at Bray Wyatt. I think if you hold out on that, people will stick around just to see the Firefly Funhouse segment. As long as you're not boring them to tears or you're coming up with something so awful that you're like, you know what, I'll watch it on YouTube later. And then last question from James, it looks like here. How does AEW gain the casual viewer? We all know there's a cult following, but that won't turn a profit. What do they do? James, you're correct about that. I think a fear that I have is that $50 pay-per-view price right now. I have been hearing a lot of pro wrestling fans talk about illegally streaming, pirating the event, figure out a way to get the event for a cheaper cost, whatever it may take. I'm watching it with some friends, and we plan on probably all chipping in and watching the event. But to get the casual viewer, I think you just need television exposure, and you need something that's going to grab somebody who's turning the channel. Whether that's great action in the ring. Some people aren't going to like this, but eye candy for the male and females. Like someone will be like, whoa, whoa, what's that? What's going on here? Oh, this is wrestling. Must be WWE on TNT. Oh, this isn't WWE. What is this? AEW. Oh, that's Goldust. And that's Chris Jericho. You got to have those constant things coming back in to get a viewer to stay on there. So earlier in the day, I put up a non-wrestling related poll of which of these would you get rid of? And it was for restaurants like Kentucky Fried Chicken, Burger King, McDonald's, Popeyes, I can't even think, Red Lobster, and Taco Bell. My answer was Taco Bell. And usually me and James are pretty good on agreement, but James was shocked that I picked Taco Bell. And I told him there's a reason why, and there's an entire story with it. So here's the story, James. Now I'm going to give everybody who gets queasy, you can't take certain things, if you got a weak stomach, I'm going to suggest that you fast forward this a little bit by 2 to 3 minutes. I'm in college. I'm in a big auditorium at Buffalo State College. During this time in between classes, I used to hang out where they have all the food, like a student center kind of. And I'm sitting there doing my work. I already probably worked that day, long hours, and it's late at night and I'm in between classes. So I'm like, all right. As I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, I'll get some Taco Bell. I've had it before. Cool. I get Taco Bell. There's some new people probably working. I don't know what the situation was, but me and this other girl made orders, and there were a bunch of other people getting orders. They ended up mixing up the order some way, somehow. The girl ordered like some chicken. I ordered some chicken. It got mixed up. So I'm looking at my stuff and I'm like, this doesn't look right, but I don't have a lot of time before class. I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat this. I eat the food, wait a little bit. I go to class, and all of a sudden, my stomach is just tore up. And back then, I was a even bigger dude, so I'm like, oh, I can handle this. I'm sitting in class, though, and this is right before he even starts, and he's going over the syllabus. He's passing it out, and it's the first day of class for, I believe it was American history. And you just hear the stomach, the and you're like, oh my God, I hope he ends his class early. So the dude starts talking. He's talking about how he doesn't end classes early. He thinks it's disrespectful if you walk out in the middle of class, and I really need to go and get out to the bathroom. And not to take a dump, but I feel sick. So I'm waiting and waiting, and I'm like, oh, the moment he ends this, I'm darting. And normally I would introduce myself to the teacher and all that stuff and ask a question or two, but at this point, I didn't care. So as soon as he ends it, book closes, throw everything in my bag, I run out. I go into the bathroom. There's only one bathroom in this auditorium. The garbage can is overflowing with paper towels. Somebody stuffed and crammed paper towels in the sinks. All the sinks are overflowing. You also have the urinals. The urinals are overflowing from paper towels because people were probably just throwing them anywhere at that point. And then the bathrooms were all in use. So what does a guy do? I got to puke. Where do I go? I run outside and I throw up over like a ledge that's over there. So the auditorium sits up on like a little hill. And I bend over the ledge, puke my brains out, and then I walk to my car. It's late at night, and I was hoping no one saw me. Someone obviously saw me, and he said, you threw up like a champ. I was so pissed. And you know what? At that point, I didn't care because my stomach hurt so bad. Like, my stomach felt like it was in knots. Just absolutely terrible. And I don't know, man. Taco Bell never sat right with me for like a week after that. I was very ill. I couldn't eat anything. I was sweating. And when the big man doesn't want to eat, I know there was something wrong with that. So ever since that day, I vowed to never touch Taco Bell again. And I have done mighty fine without it. There's other taco places here in the local area. So Taco Bell, out. That's why I didn't pick Taco Bell. Let's get back to the questions, though. Josh Burton asks, your biggest fear for AEW moving forward? There's a lot of things here. My biggest fear is the rules and regulations potentially from TNT or Turner, whatever is in charge of TNT now. I don't know if it's AOL. I don't know who's in charge. Time Warner. But I do not want them to be too involved like they were with WCW. But they owned it at the time. So I don't know if they're going to have standards and practices that they have to follow. Whatever. Also, I have a fear of the situation like what happened with Pac. AEW is not all sunshine and rainbows, folks. They have some issues that they're going to have to figure out. I know that they want to let people be independent contractors, but the situation with Pac is also why Vince McMahon likes to lock you down and you're his, because he can guarantee that this talent will be there. There's not going to be any issues. I understand it. Let's see here. Jesus De Leon asks, who is Paige going to face at Double or Nothing? I answered it before. I wouldn't be surprised maybe if we get someone who they already have on the roster. Maybe someone new from the indies. I could see a Joey Ryan, potentially a Jon Moxley. There's a lot of guys who it could be, but I think it's going to be a Joey Ryan or someone off the indies or Jon Moxley. Johnny Stroud from Edinburgh, Indiana. What does AEW lack currently that will keep them from being successful? Talent, money, name recognition? Thanks, Johnny. I'm glad that you're healthy too, brother. Good to hear from you. That's tough. What does AEW lack? I want to say they lack a resume, kind of. There's nothing backing them. They could be the worst thing ever, and we all thought it was going to be great. They could be TNA 2.0. We don't know what to expect yet. From All In, am I going to say they're TNA 2.0? No. I think they have more money behind them. They have someone who kind of knows what he's doing, being involved in the wrestling business. I have more faith in them than I had for TNA. Russell, I don't know if that's Saltz or what, but Russell asks, because of current social climate, do you think AEW should heavily promote their LGBT wrestlers? Or would some people consider that an unnecessary exploitation? No matter what side of the coin you're on, it's like politics. People are always going to try and flip it one way or the other. If they do it, oh, they're overdoing it. They're trying to exploit these folks. If they don't do it, oh, you're ashamed of it and you're not doing it the right way. It's all a political game and how you can spin it. All about being a spin doctor, just like in business, politics, whatever it may be. I don't think it matters. I mean, you could promote it a little bit. But at the end of the day, this is wrestling, bro. I don't care who you are. Just be entertaining. Get in that ring. Do your thing. Eric Brennan asks, will Jon Mox shock the world and show up? I don't know. Maybe. I can't give a definite answer. Only Jon Moxley knows that answer. BJ Mail from Run the Ropes. Shout out to BJ. He's got a great Facebook group. Make sure you guys check it out. And he's been playing some WWE 2K19. And my character is the Intercontinental Champion in his league. So long live me as the Intercontinental Champ. And make sure I win the world title soon, BJ. Let's see here. Is it going to be Punk of Mox that shows up? If Punk doesn't show up for AEW, do you think he will ever return to the ring? I do think CM Punk will return to the ring. He seems like he's starting to get that itch, and I think there's a lot of money on the table right now that he's leaving on the table, and you need to go in there and just scoop that up, Punk. You've done a lot for wrestling. People want you back. Hopefully he comes back. Uh-oh, Casey Briggs from Eugene, Oregon. Casey's been on several of my videos. What's going on? He says, my brother, why is WWE stuck in repeat mode when they are getting slapped in the face with terrible ratings? It goes back to what I said earlier, Casey. One man, one vision. All they care about is what Vince McMahon says, thinks, and does, and everyone follows suit. It's become too big of a corporation, and I'm starting to see shades of WCW with certain things like the writing last minute and everything else. But at the same time, it's still Vince's vision, and he feels like he can do everything himself. Not a good combination. Robert Anderson, Rob from Buffalo. Would you rather be chased by 60 duck-sized icons or two iconic-sized ducks? I think we're going to go with – ooh, that's a tough question. I think we're going to go with two iconic-sized ducks. I think I'll be able to fend them off and put the beat down on them. Josh Burton, once again, are you ready for the brand new tag team of me and Casey Briggs to kick the best friend's ass at Double or Nothing? Oh, this isn't a question. I'm more shocked that Josh and Casey agreed on something, so kudos to these guys. Jesus DeLeon, if CM Punk is about to sign with AEW, which event would you have him debut? I would have him debut October 1st on TNT. That's a way to say, come watch our show, take a look at this. CM Punk is probably the last guy who can really get people excited to change the channel and watch something else. I don't know if anyone else has that draw right now. Maybe Cena. But other than that, there's not really a lot of guys who, if they go over there, it's like, whoa, I can't believe that happened. Floppy from Edinburgh, Indiana. They probably won't, but should they have Jericho win over Omega? Agree or disagree? I said that before. I think Jericho should win because of his status, and he's always put other people over, so I'm with Jericho winning. In a roster full of talent, there is no one more entertaining than SCU, true or false? That is true. I like SCU. Specifically, Kazarian, the dude is money with his wit and timing. Yeah, I love the Hearts on Fire skit. I think they're very talented. I like watching them in the ring. SCU is great. Scott Carter. Scott from London, England. Across the pond. What's going on, Scott? When will Vince's obsession with Brock Lesnar end? I think when Brock wants it to. That's the best way to put it. Brock's always going to be in there for the money, so he's going to do his thing. Christopher Tyler, do you want their booking and build-up Do you think their booking and build-up will change once they start airing their weekly TV as opposed to doing monthly big shows? Chris, I think it has to. You can't continue with just putting stuff over. I am shocked at how much exposure they're getting from YouTube, social media, and everything else. Just by putting out these videos. I give them credit for it, and I like the big shows. The weekly television, though. Excuse my allergies. The weekly television, you're going to have to figure out a way to make that so that every episode is good. Here's how I feel with NXT. NXT does a great job every week with their one-hour time slot. They do enough. Some weeks are really good, some weeks are good, and some weeks are kind of meh. But the meh ones are few and far in between. It's not a consistent thing. And rarely when they do have the meh ones, I give them a pass. I'm like, yeah, that wasn't too bad. And it was only an hour. That's what AEW needs to develop. Good shows like, whoa, I can't wait to come back and see this. And you got to have this involved in storylines. And you can rotate people in and out just like NXT does. But you have to have this story continuity. Like, you have to have stories intertwined from the television shows week to week. It can't be one week this guy's on this show doing something, and then the next 3 weeks you don't see him. Then he comes back again week two of after the pay-per-view, and you haven't seen him. And he tries to bring up his point. Then he's like, no, I'm going back to my old gimmick. It's ridiculous sometimes what other companies have them do. I'm talking about WWE. You guys could tell. Some of that stuff they pull is just kind of garbage. People don't like that, and I'm not a big fan of it myself. Like, have a storyline and stick with it. Don't change it or forget about people. Annoying. And last but not least, Thor, Vincent Palmer. New to the group, too, so what's going on, Thor? Glad to have you in here. Thor from Tennessee. He says, with the current roster, make a tag match for AEW tag titles. I would do a four corners match with the Young Bucks, the Lucha Bros, the Best Friends, and Jack Evans and Angelico. So that's it for the Facebook questions. We're going to go to Twitter before we get ready to get out of here.
This is Evolve Wrestling's Anthony Green, and you are listening to Everything Pro Wrestling on Brainbuster Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the final part of our show, we are going to go to Twitter. I opened up the Q&As to them as well, and we got a couple questions. So we've got some good ones in here. Let's see what we have. Actually, I'm going to start with the ones not in the thread first to see what we picked up. All right. Ask EPW. Donnie from Buffalo wants to know, which feuds are you most looking forward to in AEW going forward? I was looking forward to maybe a Pac-Kenny Omega feud. That would definitely be one. I would also like to see a feud between Jack Evans and Angelico versus the Lucha Bros. I really think that they could do some positive things with both of those teams. And as far as the women wrestlers, I'd like to see what's going to happen with Allie and Brandi Rhodes. I think that they have potential to face one another. So thank you for that question, Donnie. My man Steve from Steve's Wrestling Ramble. Do you think there will be any surprises like CM Punk during the show airing? As far as CM Punk goes, I don't think we're going to see him because he's supposed to be doing commentary for MMA that night. As far as any other surprises, yes, I think we're going to get at least one, potentially two. So they know they have to deliver on a show like this. And I most definitely think that they're prepared for this. And now let's get to the thread here. Got a couple of questions. All right. If AEW were to invade Raw or SmackDown Live, how would you book it? And that was asked by Aussie Lucian on Twitter. Thank you for the question, brother. Good question. How would I book that? I think that I would have the night start off with someone turning, potentially Triple H, because he can no longer get power in WWE without Vince McMahon being gone. So Triple H and maybe even his wife conspire against Vince McMahon and Shane or whoever's left behind. And he brings in these AEW guys, and Triple H is leading the charge as AEW comes in to destroy his main roster as Vince McMahon crumbles into pieces. And he survived the last invasion, but this one he knows he's not going to be able to. And that's where he hands over control to maybe either Shane, Stephanie, the people, however you want to do it. And hopefully they can fight back or they find some way to coexist. And maybe AEW takes over one of the shows, similar to how they were going to do the invasion angle originally. Oh, I'm sorry. And he said his name is BJ from Moranba, Australia. Hopefully I said that right. Josh, correct me if I didn't in the DMs. Let's see here. We got another one from RA_71689. Robert Anderson asks, do you think AEW will possibly fall victim to too much fan service, book themselves in a corner trying to please everyone? I think it could happen, but eventually you're going to have to just go with what you wanted to do originally. And you know what? Sometimes I feel like NXT books themselves into a corner, but they always find a way out because they pick a winner and stick with it. That's what you need to do if you're AEW as well. They just have to make sure that they don't fall into it too much because you can get yourself into a lot of trouble, like you said. Headlock Talk. What's up, guys? Who would you like to see challenge Adam Page? Headlock Talk. We talked about that before. I think Joey Ryan or John Moxley would be my two choices. Uh-oh, my boy Mags. Catch him on Thursdays on the Badlands podcast as they talk about their Mount Rushmores and who's the greatest. Mags here from the UK. Do you think AEW are going to be a touring company or do they have a set base a la WCW? I think we are going to see a more reduced schedule from these guys. I think that they're going to have people make up their money that they're missing or if they want to get more by doing shows on the independent scene for right now. I don't think they're at the point to where they need to be touring like WWE. And maybe they'll never want to get to that point. Maybe they'll say WWE does 300 days a year. We'll do 200. But for right now, I think they're going to have a set base like WCW. They're going to know what shows they're going to do, what pay-per-views and what television. And then independent shows will pop up when they can. All right, my man, the MG Experience, Illustrious G40 on Twitter asks, Matt G from Longview, Texas, wondering if AEW is eventually going to have a mid-card title like the IC belt, or do you think a three-title system of the world, tag, and women's will be enough? If I'm AEW, I think you need a four title system. I think to start, you could do the world tag and women's. And eventually, once you see how that roster's panning out, you'll need a mid-card title. I don't know if it'll be a television championship or a U.S., but they'll have to figure out a belt in the middle to put in there. And I think that'll appease the mid-card talent. Let's see here. XGW, why are you most excited for AEW wrestling? I'm excited because AEW wrestling is competition, like I said before. It's awesome, and I just can't wait to see what they do. It's just the pure excitement of a new company being into the fold. Who will be the first AEW world champion? All right, XGW, good question. First AEW world champion. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Chris Jericho for the same reasons why I said he should win. He deserves it, man. He's always put other people over. Let Jericho be the first one to run with the ball and have his name in history etched in there perfectly as the first ever All Elite Wrestling world champion. Foul. Do you think at AEW Double or Nothing will truly change the wrestling landscape, or is it still too soon to predict another boom? And plus, of course, EP Dub. Thank you, Foul. I don't think they're going to change the landscape just yet. We're not on that boom just yet. I feel like we're in a wrestling boom, but we're not. It's kind of weird. Like, we're in a bubble of wrestling fans who like it, but are we going to get to the point to where casuals are going crazy for it again? That depends on the competition and who's bringing it. So it'll be interesting to see that. Let me see here. Two more questions from Rob. Rob says, being that AEW has already announced partnerships with OWE and AAA, what other promotions besides ROH and New Japan would you like to see join the fray? I have two in mind. One would be the NWA. I would like to see the NWA Championship main event some AEW shows. It helps get guys off of television. And at the same time, it will allow some of their stars to challenge for the belt and put the title over as well. I just think when you're putting that NWA match, you seem like a bigger deal, similar to Marty Scurll. Who else has challenged for it? Cole Cabana, many other people. They just put that spotlight on you, and it's a big focus by Billy Corgan and Dave Lagana. Also, I'll even put MLW in there. I just did an interview with their referee, Doug Markham. Excellent guy. I would love to see him refereeing in AEW eventually. That's just my personal preference for him. But he's doing a great job in MLW, and I love MLW at the same time. I think they have a lot of talent who's underrated. Jacob Fatu is one of my favorite guys in MLW. They're going to have Austin Aries back there. They have a plethora of talent. And some of the guys are already in AEW, like MJF. And let's get to the last question here. Last but not least, what does the phrase "change the world" mean to you in the world of wrestling? Change the world to me means that wrestling becomes a better place for workers, fans, promoters, and anybody involved in the business. I want to see people treat it right. You guys have an awesome job, You guys are cameramen, people who help set up the rings, the wrestlers, the promoters. It's a fun job. I just want people to enjoy themselves. Just like, same thing with the podcasting world. I want to work with as many people as I can. I know that I have a lot of different responsibilities and stuff coming up in my life, and it's difficult to do that, but I still want to be a part of this. I think that I can contribute to the wrestling world similar to some of the bigger names out there. I'm not going to name them right now, but I want to be a part of that, and I think I can contribute to that, whether it's interviewing wrestlers, hosting a podcast for a network, something. I want to be able to contribute to the business I love, and that's it. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Everything Pro Wrestling. Don't forget that after Double or Nothing, we will be live on the YouTube channel with a review of Double or Nothing. And don't forget this Saturday on Brainbuster Radio, link in the description. Give it a subscribe so you can listen to me and a roundtable full of smart wrestling fans talk about AEW and Double or Nothing. This is the end of the show, guys. Thank you for listening. Peace.